For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's June the 6th, and we are in Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Alf, chapter 21. And we begin with the, this is going to be the entire reign of Menashe. This Menashe is the son of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is married to Yeshayahu's daughter, and they produce Menashe. We'll learn about him now. Of course, this is not the same Menashe as the son of Yosef, who is found in the Chumash, who's one of the Shvatim. This Menashe is from the tribe of Yehuda, and unfortunately he does not do the greatest things, at least for part of his reign. Ben Shtemes Reishana Menashe B'molcho, Menashe was 12 years old when he became king. V'chamishim v'chamesh shana malach b'Yerushalayim, he ruled for 55 years, which is a very long time. B'shem imo Chefetziva, and his mother's name was Chefetziva. V'yas hara b'inei Hashem, he did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem, kesoavos ha-goyim asher horish Hashem b'fnei b'nei Yisrael, like the abominations of the goyim, of the nations that Hashem destroyed or removed from in front of the b'nei Yisrael. V'yashav v'yiven es ha-bamos asher ibad chizkiyo aviv, and he went back and he rebuilt the bamos that were destroyed by Chizkiyahu, his father. So he undid the good that his father had done. Vayakem mizbechos la Baal, and he established altars for the Baal, the Avodah Zarah of Baal. Vayas Asherah, and he made the Avodah Zarah of Asherah, kasher asa Achav Melech Yisrael, like Achav, the king of Israel, did. As we invoke Achav, since he was the worst of, or one of the worst of the Israel kings. He bowed to all of the hosts of the heavens, and he worshipped them. He built altars in the house of Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash. That Hashem had said, I will place my name in Yerushalayim. Even he built altars for all the hosts of the heavens, Beis Hashem, in both of the courtyards of the house of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, the two courtyards. This seems to mean the area where the Kohanim stood and the area where the Yisraelim stood. The Heviris Benova Eish, he also passed his son in fire. He did the Avodah Zarah of Molech. Va'onein v'nichesh, and he also did, he was Ma'onein and a Menachesh. Onein is to divine with the, to say that certain times are good or bad for certain things, and Nichush is superstition. Vasa Ov v'yid'onim, he also did the Avodah Zarah, or the Kishuv of Ov and Yid'onim, that's where a person brings up the dead in various forms. Here Balasos Harabene Hashem Lachis, he did much in the to do evil in the eyes of Hashem to anger Hashem. Vayasem es pesal asherah asher asah, and he made the form of the statue of the Asher that he made, Babayis Asherom Hashem al David ve'al Shlomo v'no, in the house that Hashem told David and to Shlomo his son, Babayis Hazeh v'Yerushalayim Hashem achariti mikol shivtei Yisrael, in this house and in Yerushalayim that I chose from all of the tribes of Yisrael, Asim es Shemi la'olam, I'll put my name forever. Hashem had said this. Hashem had also said, V'lo osif v'hanid regal Yisrael mino adama, and I also will no longer continue to make the feet of the Jews need to move from the land, Hashem asati la'avosam, that I gave to their ancestors, with one caveat, Rakim yishmeru la'asos kechol asher tzivisim, only if they guard to do all that I commanded them. Ulechol ha'Torah, and all the Torah, asher tziva osam avdi Moshe, that my servant Moshe commanded them. V'lo shameu, they did not listen. Vayas aim Menashe lasos es hara, and Menashe enticed them to do the evil. Min ha'goyim asher hishmir Hashem, similar to the nations that Hashem had destroyed, mipnei b'nei Yisrael. So Menashe did all these bad things. So as a result, Vayidaber Hashem b'yad avadav ha'neviim lemar, Hashem spoke in the hands of his servants, the neviim, saying the following nevuah from his neviim. It does not say here which neviim they were. Chazal tell us these were two neviim, Nachum and Habakkuk, who are two of the Treyasar. and these nevuahs came from them. Because Menasheh, the king of Yehuda, did these abominations. He did worse than all that the Emori did before him, the non-Jews. And he also caused Yehuda to sin with his disgusting things. Therefore, says Hashem, the God of Israel, Hinani may be ra al Yushalayim Yehuda. I am going to be evil on Yushalayim and on Yehuda. Asher kol shamav titzalna shtei aznav, that all who hear what happens will, both his ears will ring. Vinatisi al Yerushalayim es kav shomron. I will stretch across Yushalayim the kav, the line of Shomron. In other words, what happened to Shomron, which is the northern kingdom, is going to happen to Yerushalayim. Ves mashkoles beis Achav, and the mashkoles of the house of Achav. Mashkoles literally means a weight. It is when they use a level when they're trying to make sure that a wall is straight. They hang a weighted string from the top of the wall to make sure that it's straight. So the point here is that it's going to be the same thing that I did to them, I'll do to Yerushalayim. Umachis yes Yerushalayim, and I will wipe clean Yerushalayim, kashu yimches atzalachas, like the plate is wiped clean, macha, that it's totally cleaned, v'hafach al paneh, and turned on its face, after a person washes the dishes, and turns them over, to make sure they stay clean. So that is what is going to happen. I'm going to completely wipe clean Yerushalayim from the Jewish people. V'natashti es sheris nachalasi, and I will abandon, okay, yep, the remnants of my inheritance. Unisatim bi'anai ve'im, I'll put them in the hands of their enemies. V'hayu lavaz, they will be for degraded, v'lim shisa, and to be trampled, l'chol eveim, to all of their enemies. Yana sherasu is harab be'inai, because they did the evil in my eyes. Vayu mach'isim osi, and they angered me, min hayom ha'shayotsu avosam im Yitzrayim v'adayom hazer, from the day their ancestors left Mitzrayim until today. In other words, I'm going to visit upon them all the sins that I have not yet punished them for. Now it's going to be come to the fore. V'gam, now the Navi continues about what Menasheh did. V'gam dam naki shafach Menasheh harbe ma'od, also innocent blood Menasheh spilled very much. There's a lot of murder. Anasher mile yesh Yerushalayim peh lafeh, until Yerushalayim was filled from mouth to mouth. It's a funny language. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, hopefully. Levad mechat aso asher hechet yesh Yehuda, besides the sins that he caused Yehuda to sin. Lasos harab enei Hashem, to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. Pretty scathing. V'yesu divrei Menasheh, and all the rest of the words of Menasheh, v'chol asher asal, that he did, v'chatoso asher chata, and the sins that he sinned, halayim ksuvim al sefer divrei yom l'malchi Yehuda, they are written in the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. V'yishkav Menasheh ma'vosav, Menasheh died, v'yikaver began beiso, he was buried in the garden of his house, began Uzzah, that's the name of the place. Vayimloch Amon beno tachtav, and Amon, his son, ruled in his stead. We're going to keep reading here, even though it's a new reign, but it's a short one. Ben Esrim Ushtaim Shana Amon b'malcho. Amon was 22 years old when he became king. Now, that's an important number. And remember, Menasheh ruled for 55 years. Amon became king when he was 22. That means he was born when Menasheh was 33 years old. That's very significant. We'll talk about that soon. Ushtaim Shani Malach Yerushalayim, he ruled for 2 years in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo Mishulemes Bas Charutz Min Yotva, and the name of his mother was Mishulemes Bas Charutz from Yotva. Vayas Hara Beinei Hashem, he also did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Kasher Asa Menasheh Aviv, like Menasheh's father did. Vayelech Bechol Aderech Asher Halach Aviv, and he went in all the ways that his father went. Vayavodes Hakimulim Asher Avad Aviv, and he served the despicable things that his father served. Vayishtachu, let me bow to them. Vayazov es Hashem Elokei Avos, he forsook Hashem, the God of his fathers. V'lo halach b'derech Hashem, he did not go in the ways of Hashem. Vayikshru avdei Amon olav, so the servants of Amon rebelled against him. Vayamisu es Hamelech Beveso, and they killed the king, they assassinated the king in his house. Vayach am haaretz es kol hakoshim al Hamelech Amon, so the people then they struck down those who rebelled against Ammon. You had a little bit of not a civil war, so to speak, but certainly you had some civil unrest. And they crowned Yoshio, the son of Ammon, in his stead. Meaning, those who rebelled against Ammon and killed him would have then completely usurped the kingdom and placed someone else as king, not from Ammon's family, but then when they were then in turn killed, then Yoshio, his son, was replaced his father Ammon. The rest of the things that Ammon did, they're written on the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. He was buried in his burial place in Gan Uzzah. Yoshio, his son, was crowned, became king in his place, and Yoshiyahu, as we will see, will turn things around. But right now we have two successive kings who are quite evil. They're significantly evil, as we will see. Yes?
So just two questions. One, he was Dafka trying to anger Hashem?
And so it seems. The when the Gemara says this, the Gemara says, well, we'll see what they did. They did some terrible things. And later on, when Yehoyakim comes along, he says, they didn't know how to anger Hashem. I'll show you how to do it. So, yeah.
Just a little confusing.
Yeah, seems like it's pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah. Second?
And then the second, Vayishkav Imavosav, doesn't that refer to somebody who is a tzaddik? If he's able to...
Vayigva means it's tzaddik.
Uh-huh.
Vayishkav Imavosav doesn't always mean it's tzaddik.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm bothered because the two evil kings, it said who their mothers were, and this one, who's going to be a good king, it doesn't mention the mother.
No, we'll get to the mother's usually mentioned. Yeah, it'll be mentioned in the next paragraph.
We just haven't gotten there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The mother is mentioned always because you have to know the line of the kings. You have to know where they come from.
Right, so, okay. Right.
Yeah.
So that was...
Yeah, we'll get to that.
How old... Will I find out how old he is when he becomes king? Will that
right
be coming?
Yoshio, that's coming. We'll deal with him.
Okay.
Yeah. We got to deal with.
Okay.
Now, Yoshio is a whole separate parsha. In fact, we read about him on Tisha B'Av because he had a tragic end. But that's a whole separate discussion. Right now, we have Menashe and Ammon. We know much more about Menashe than we know about Ammon. We just know that Ammon, in certain ways, was worse. For example, the Gemara tells us that as part of the abominations that they did, they committed various types of sins, including Gilui Arayos, illicit relationships. The Gemara tells us Menashe had a relationship with his sister. Ammon had a relationship with his mother, the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us that his mother said to him, "Why are you doing this?" His mother said to him, "You can't possibly have a taiva for this. You can't possibly have a desire for this." And he said, "I'm only doing this to anger my Creator."
Wow.
That's what the Gemara says. Whether it's a literal conversation or whether it's the Gemara is deriving the concept, but that's what the Gemara says. So Ammon in certain ways was worse than Menashe. But let's begin with Menashe. I don't know if we can complete both of them in one shir. We may have to carry this over to next week. We'll see. Now, Menashe, as you see, was evil. He definitely undid all the wonderful things that his father Chizkiyahu did. The Gemara itself asks the question, how is it possible that Chizkiyahu, who we know stood for Torah and taught Torah to the entire country, millions of people are taught Torah by Chizkiyahu, how could he not have taught Torah to his son Menashe? Which the Gemara responds, he certainly did teach Torah to his son Menashe, but unfortunately it was unsuccessful. So we'll discuss that presently. Now, when you read in Malachim, it sounds like Menashe was evil from start to finish. For 55 years, that's a long time to really perpetuate a lot of evil in the country. When you're the monarch, so it's pretty bad. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, which is the Perek that deals with Olam Haba, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah says, that there were three kings that lost their portion of the world to come. It doesn't mean that this is necessarily an exhaustive list, but there are three kings in the Mishnah that are listed that lost their Chelek in Olam Haba. Yeravam ben Nevat, Achav, and Menashe. However, there is a dissenting opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says Menashe does have a portion of the world to come, which is a little surprising. Well, it doesn't say that in Malachim. Right? What we read doesn't say anything about Tshuva. But you are correct. As we will see, I'll read to you from Divrei Hayamim, the corresponding parak in Divrei Hayamim, which we'll see that there's more information added, both good and bad. So Rabbi Yehuda says he does have a portion of the world to come. So where does he get that from? So let's read, I'll tell you, in Divrei Hayamim, we're in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33. This is the corresponding parak. It is the same type of parak. It starts with Menashe, ends with Amon. It starts off the same way, that he did all these terrible things, and he built all these terrible altars, and how he put his son through the fire, and he divined, and he did sorcery and superstition, and he brought the idol into the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem said that this is terrible, and how much Menashe then got the Jews to do terrible things, and Hashem, okay, now, the pasuk tells us a little more detail about what happened during Menashe's lifetime. There was punishment. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, in Divrei Hayamim, in Perek Lamed Gimel. First, in verse 10, it says that Hashem spoke to Menashe and to the nation. That means through those Nevi'im we mentioned before, Nachum and Habakkuk. V'lo hikshivu, they did not listen to Nachum or to Habakkuk. So, Vayaveh Hashem aleihem es sarei hatzavah shel melech Ashur. Hashem brought against him the generals of the king of Ashur. Now, the king of Ashur, as you know, was killed. That's Sanherib. But Ashur still has some power. And the generals come against him. Vayilkedu es Menashe, and they conquered Menashe. Bachochim, they put him in. Chochim is a hook, like as you hook a fish. So how literal that is, I'm not sure, but they definitely did some not nice things to him. Vayasruhu banichushtayim, and they chained him. Vayolichuhu bavela, and they dragged him to Bavel during his reign. And then the pasuk tells us uchehatzerlo, and when he had these afflictions, chila es panei Hashem elokav, he davened to Hashem his God, vayikana me'od, and he became very humble, milifnei elokei avosav, from before the God of his fathers, vayispalel elav, he davened to him, vayeoserlo, Hashem was available to him, vayishma techinoso, and listened to his supplication, vayoshivu Yerushalayim malchuso, and returned him to Yerushalayim, to his kingdom. So in the middle of his 55-year reign, at some point, Menashe is dragged from the throne to Bavel, and then he davens, and somehow he gets out and comes back. We're not told the details of what the intrigue was in Bavel, whether he was let free, whether he was fought for to become free, but he comes back to Yerushalayim. Vayeda Menashe ki Hashem hu ha'elokim, and Menashe knew that Hashem is God. V'acharechin bana chomach yitzona li'o David, so then he built an outer wall to the city of David. Ma'arava le'gichon banachal, so he builds this, he fortifies the city. The pasuk goes on. I'm skipping ahead over here. Vayasar es Elohei Anechar, he removed the foreign gods, Vesasemo mi beis Hashem, and the idol from the house of Hashem. V'chol hamizbechos asher bana bar Hashem u'Yerushalayim, and all of the altars that he built on the Temple Mount and in Yerushalayim. Vayashleich chutzal la'ir, and he threw them out of the city. That is a significant line which we're going to come back to. He threw them out of the city. Vayiven es mizbach Hashem, he rebuilt the altar of Hashem. Vayizbach alav zivchei shlamim v'soda, he brought on it peace offerings and toda, thanksgiving offerings for getting his kingdom back. Vayomer Yehuda la'avodes Hashem elokei Yisrael, and he told Yehuda to serve Hashem, the God of Israel. So it seems like he did tshuva. But then pasuk says, "Avol od ha'am zovchim babamos, rak la'Hashem elokeim." But the nation was still worshiping on bamos, but it was to Hashem, not to other gods. So he does seem to at least repair somewhat what he did wrong. But the Navi then tells us that the rest of what he did, and the bamos that he built at when he before he did tshuva. So hinam ksuvim al divrei Chozai. They are written in the words of Chozai. It's a difference of opinion what Chozai is. Some say it's a person, a navi. And then Menashe dies. They buried him, and Amon takes over. And then you have a repeat here about how bad Amon was. Then the Gemara tells us how long was Menashe evil, and when did he do tshuva? So we learned in Malachim that he was like Achav. That's what it says. He did the evil like Achav. Achav ruled for 22 years. Therefore, the Gemara tells us Menashe was evil for 22 years and did tshuva for 33 years. So his tshuva years, at least in terms of length, outdid his evil years. Unfortunately, his tshuva years did not completely undo his evil. And the proof to this is what happens with his son. Now, his son was born, as we mentioned, 22 years before his death. His son is 22 years old when he dies. That means his son was born when Menashe was in his 33rd year of being king. Well, that's 11 years into his tshuva. Amon was not born when all the evil was going on. Amon was born when the tshuva was going on. So you would expect that Amon would be raised properly. But here, the Gemara tells us that although it's true that Menashe did discard the altars and things and threw them out of Yerushalayim, he did not burn them and destroy them. They were still there, but they were thrown out of Yerushalayim. Amon found them, was attracted to them, and ended up becoming more evil than his father. Now, the fact that he didn't destroy them, it wasn't it's not like he just forgot to do that. That is indicative of the limited nature of the tshuva of Menashe, which means he did do tshuva, and he did throw them out, and he did tell the Jews to worship Hashem. However, it was not a tshuva that completely eradicated and undid all the evil that he did. That's why we have a difference of opinion. According to the first opinion in the Mishnah, Menashe does lose his chelik in Olam Haba. His tshuva did not save him to the point where he would get back his Olam Haba. Rabbi Yehuda says that he did get his Olam Haba because it says he davened and Hashem heard him and returned him to Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that means he also got back his Olam Haba, but the other opinion says no, he did not get back his Olam Haba. This is because of the limited nature of his tshuva. He not only committed idolatry and also avodah zara, and also gilui arayos, also the illicit relationships, and also murder, as it says, we learned that that there was so much blood in Yerushalayim. He also did one of the most terrible things that one can do, in that he killed a navi. Which Navi did he kill? He killed the Navi Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, who lived for a long time, who was his grandfather, he killed the Navi Yeshayahu. The Gemara tells us, Yeshayahu, when he first became a Navi, it's in the fifth chapter of Yeshayahu, when he first became a Navi, he sees the Maisa Merkava. He sees Hashem's throne, and he sees the angels. That's where we get the pasuk Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. That comes from Yeshayahu. When he sees this, he says, "Oy li chinid meisi." So he says, "Woe to me," says Yeshayahu. So he says, he says, "Ki temes vasayim anochi, I am impure of lips," meaning he says, "I'm not the purest person." Yeshayahu talking about himself. He criticizes himself, and then he says, "Uvesoch am temes vasayim anochi yoshev," and I am dwelling amongst a nation that is impure of their lips. So, because he spoke that way about the Jewish people, even though Hashem did admonish him on the spot, but in the end he is killed, and the way he is killed, Menashe comes to kill him. Yeshayahu utters Hashem's name and disappears, and the way the Gemara tells it to us is that he became absorbed inside of a tree. He was somehow able to disappear and get himself inside of the trunk of a tree, which would then protect him. That way, Menashe couldn't get to him. So Menashe had that tree cut down, and the axe hit Yeshayahu in the mouth as a punishment for that statement of him. Now, of course, that we're talking about Yeshayahu on his level, one of the greatest Nevi'im to live, and so, of course, he is judged very, very harshly. He's judged very, very with a fine-tooth comb. And that's the way he is punished. But that murder is done by Menashe. A terrible thing to kill a Navi. So you have here some really, really bad things that are going on in Menashe's day. The Gemara tells us Menashe went around to the Sifrei Torah and scratched out the names of Hashem in the Sifrei Torah. The Gemara tells us, it says, Menashe Kadar es ha'azkaros, he cut out the names of Hashem, v'haras es ha'mizbeach, and he destroyed the mizbeach. Then it says, Amon burned the Torah. Amon did worse. He burned the Torah, and in his day, the mizbeach got full of cobwebs. It was totally not used in the days of Amon. He was only king for 2 years, but that's what happened there. So, you have you have a tshuva, it is something, but evidently it is incomplete, and because of this there is the evil that he does is not eradicated, and Amon therefore does not end up learning from the tshuva of his father, but rather he learns from the old ways of his father, which is still lurking there in the background.
Why isn't Amon on the list of the kings who lose their
right? Television? So the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. The Gemara has guidelines for which kings the Mishnah picks, and which ones it doesn't. So there's not. There are others who lost to Chelik and Alma, but I only brought you the Mishnah to show you that Menashe is a debate, and the reason he's a debate is because he does do tshuva. So there is something there, but at the same time, it's not a complete tshuva. Not like we find with Chizkiyahu, where in the first year he totally turns things around. Not like we're going to find with Yoshiyahu, where the Navi lauds him as a Baal tshuva, as we will see when we talk about Yoshiyahu and his greatness. But Menashe, although he does do some level of tshuva, nevertheless, it is still not up to what it needs to be. Now, the Navi tells us, as I mentioned, that the streets of Yerushalayim were filled with blood, pet lafet, mouth to mouth. That is, of course, a reference to the mouth of Yeshayahu. That's because that was one of the murders that took place. And the Gemara, if I can find it quickly, I'll tell it to you. The Gemara also mentions about this particular point. I don't know if I can find it quickly enough to tell it to you. There is something here about the Pelef. If I can find it, I will tell it to you as we move along over here. But I want to share with you a couple of different things regarding Menashe. First of all, I mentioned to you that the Gemara itself is troubled with the fact that he's the son of Chizkiyahu. So how is it that he ended up being so evil? Or more importantly, how is it that Chizkiyahu neglected his own son?
Could ask the same about the Abbas. You've got Abraham with Ishmael, and you've got Yitzchak with
good.
David.
Good, good, good. Okay.
David.
Well, Shlomo Melech is a tzaddik. That's not.
No, but not all the sons.
Not all the sons. That's right. Okay, that's good.
In trouble, so.
The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that when Rabbi Eliezer became sick, on his deathbed, so his Talmidim, his students, came in and they were trying to console him that he was on his deathbed. And each one, Rabbi Eliezer was in tremendous pain. He was suffering on his deathbed. And the Gemara tells us, Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer Nichnesu Talmid of Levakro, his students came in to visit him. This is in Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph, Amar Aleph, 101a. So the Gemara says that they said to him, you're like the sun, you're wonderful for the Jewish people. They said to him all kinds of great things about him. And when each one spoke, Rabbi Eliezer was uninterested in the points they were trying to make. Until Rabbi Akiva said, Nen Rabbi Akiva v'amar, Chavibin Yisurin, afflictions are precious. This is what he said to a man on his deathbed going through tremendous pain. Amar lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Samchuni, lift me up, you know, support me. Ve'eshma divrei Akiva tamidi, and I'll hear the words of Akiva, my student. Sha'amar, that he said, Chavivin Yisurin, that he said that afflictions are precious. Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Akiva, zuminayin lach, where do you know that from? How do you know that afflictions are precious? Amar, he said, Mikrani Doresh, I get it from a pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Ben Shtemesrei Shana Menashe Mamolcho. Menashe was 12 years old when he became king. V'chamishim v'chamei Shana Malach B'Yushalayim, he ruled for 55 years. V'yas hara b'nei Hashem, and he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. So he said, the Gemara, I'm skipping a little bit, the Gemara says, is it possible that Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, l'chol ha'olam kulo limei Torah, he taught Torah to the entire world, ula Menashe b'no lo limei Torah, and he didn't teach Menashe his own son Torah? Ela mikol toreach shetarach bo, rather, all of the effort that Chizkiyahu put into Menashe, umikol amal shamal bo, and all the toil that he toiled in him, lo hele ulamutav, it did not make him keep the Torah. All the effort, Chizkiyahu put in a tremendous amount of effort into his son. But for all he tried, it did not help his son be a tzaddik. So it didn't help. Ela Yisurin. The only thing that brought Menashe back to Hashem is afflictions. Shenemar, as it says, all the psukim that we read, that he ended up being dragged to Bavel, and he davened, and because of that, he got his throne back. So that the Navi tells us, Rabbi Akiva learns from here, you see the power of affliction. Nobody wants affliction. It's not a good thing, it's not a nice thing, it's not a pleasant thing, and there's a lot of tears when there are afflictions. However, Rabbi Akiva is pointing out to his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, that afflictions do have their place, and they do have their power. And although it is true that Chizkiyahu tried to make his son a tzaddik, it didn't work, and the only thing that ended up working were the yisur and the afflictions that he ended up getting. Rabbi Moshe Eisman in Neri Yisrael, one of my rebbeim in Neri Yisrael, mentioned this when discussing pain, talking about pain and suffering, and discussing the whole concept of pain and suffering. No one can speak of pain and suffering. No one can speak of somebody else's pain and suffering. No one can pretend to understand someone else's pain and suffering if they have not experienced it themselves. And of course, we don't want anybody to experience the suffering that we're going through. But the fact of the matter is, when someone suffers, no one can understand it, and no one can possibly really talk about it in an intelligent way without having been through it themselves. So when Rabbi Eisen spoke on this subject, he made it clear he was not trying to pretend that he would understand the way the pain a person goes through. But in explaining this Gemara, he said that Rabbi Eliezer was on his deathbed. Rabbi Eliezer was one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. He's of the Mishnayos. He was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva, and we have Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which comes from him. He was one of the greatest Tanaim, and now he's suffering. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva is not telling him that the purpose of his suffering is that he should now become a tzaddik. Rabbi Eliezer was a tzaddik to begin with, but he is suffering. He's on his deathbed. He's in tremendous pain, And his Talmidim come in and try to make him feel better by telling him, oh, you're wonderful, you're this, you're that. And he doesn't want to hear about it. Because those points are not going to help him grow from what he is going through. He's going through they may help him ignore what he is going through, but they're not going to help him grow from what he is going through. When Rabbi Akiva says to him, Chaviv and Yisur Rabbi Akiva, for all of his greatness in Torah, which we know Rabbi Akiva is through whom the line of Torah flows, we know that. But for all of that, you find consistently throughout the Gemara that when you have a group of Talmidei Chachamim and others are struggling with what the right thing to say is, Rabbi Akiva steps forward and has the right words. He's the one who's able to finally hit the nail on the head. Many times in the Gemara you see this. And here you have one of those examples. Rabbi Akiva says what you would expect is the worst thing to say to someone who's suffering. It's good to suffer. Rabbi Akiva wasn't suffering himself, yet we know he's going to die a horrific death eventually. But at that time he wasn't suffering. How does he tell his Rebbe, who is currently suffering is good? But Rabbi Akiva understood that's what his Rebbe wanted to hear about. His Rebbe wasn't interested in hearing how great he was. His Rebbe was interested in hearing, how do I deal with this pain and suffering that I can grow from it in my last moments on this earth? And Rabbi Akiva told him that Yisurim sometimes can even be more powerful than all of the learning of Torah. That Chizkiyahu was able to muster the incredible wealth of Torah that he was able to bring to the table, that did not save his son. But finally, the Yisurin did. And even though that particular application would not work for his Rebbe, for Rabbi Eliezer, but the concept was what he wanted to hear. And it was through that that Rabbi Eliezer was able to face his suffering and grow from his suffering in the last moments on this earth. That's where Rabbi Eisman explained this Gemara. The Gemara also tells us about Menashe. Now, I've mentioned to you excerpts from this Gemara before, but now I'm going to read you the entire thing. The Gemara tells us that that Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is something that we really have a very hard time understanding. We have a very hard time dealing with it. Avodah Zarah is something which today does not seem to have any allure. It seems to be juvenile. It seems to be just ridiculous. And in fact, the Gemara in Megillah says, Kolet Sanusa Asira, all Leit Sanus would mean mocking. All mocking is prohibited, with the exception of Avodah Zarah. One is supposed to mock Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is foolish. Avodah Zarah is ridiculous. Those who are involved in Avodah Zarah are acting in a foolish and stupid manner. That is the way one is supposed to speak about Avodah Zarah. There's nothing to respect about Avodah Zarah. You don't go back and say these ancient religions, look how, you know, try to find something respectful about them. There's nothing to respect about them. They're foolish and ridiculous. That's the way one is supposed to speak about them. However, we see that they were definitely drawn to Avodah Zarah, which is something which is very difficult for us to relate to. How were they drawn to Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara tells us that the Amoraim, who lived after the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the Tanaim, the Amoraim, they lived after the men of the Great Assembly took away the drive for Avodah Zarah, they themselves did not see it as something which was this terrible desire, this terrible thing that pulled people. And so, let me just see where I can. I saw this right before we started over here. Let me see if I can find it. So the Gemara tells us that at first they talked about it in a way that would be disparaging to those who worshipped it. But listen to what the Gemara says. This is worthwhile reading inside. I could narrate to you, but it's not going to do it justice. Here it is. Okay. The Gemara tells us It's in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, 102b. Bei Rav Ashi Uki Ashlosha Malachim. In the yeshiva Rav Ashi, I'm sorry, Rav Ashi Uki Ashlosha Malachim. Rav Ashi was teaching about the three kings that the Mishnah mentions that lost their portion in the world to come. Amar, he said, he finished the shir, and now he was giving everybody an introduction for next week's shir, or next tomorrow's shir. Amar, he said, L'machar, tomorrow, niftach bechavrin. We'll talk about our buddies. He referred to the three kings as if they were regular people like him. Like they, in other words, Rav Ashi, of course, was not a regular person, but he was talking about them not as if they were anyway greater than they were, but they were our buddies. We'll talk about them. Asa Menashe, so Menashe came, is chazilei b'chalmei, and appeared to him in a dream. Amar, so Menashe said to Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi is one of the ones who redacted the Gemara. Ravina and Rav Ashi is one of the ones, right? So Menashe appeared to him in a dream and said to him, Chavrecha v'chavre davuch karislon? You call us your friend and the friend of your fathers? You think that we're friends? No, do you think we're on the same level? Mehecha boyis l'mishra hamotzi. Where do you begin cutting when you, after you say hamotzi, and you're ready to cut the challah, where do you start cutting from? Amar, so Amar the Ravashi said back to him in the dream, lo yadana, I don't know. Amar leis, Amenashe said to him, mehecha de boyis l'mishra hamotzi loy gemiris. Where you're supposed to cut after you say hamotzi, you never learned that. V'chavrach karislan, and you call us your friends? As if we're on the same level? You don't even know that. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to Menashe, Agamrei li, teach it to me, ulamachar darishna le mishmach bepirka. Tomorrow, I'll darshan it, I'll expound upon it in the shir, in your name. I'll say it over from you in the shir. Amalei, so he said to Mehecha, to Karim Bishula, where the bread is crusty. There's a difference of opinion exactly what that means. The point is, it's the best part of the bread. That's where you're supposed to cut, and not from a part that isn't well done. Rashi has different explanations for this. Amar le, so Rav Ashi said to Menashe, Me'achar de chakim tu kulei hai. If you're so wise, meaning you learned so much Torah that you knew more than I know, and I'm an Amora, and apparently you know more Torah than I knew. My time a kapol chisul avodas kochavim. So why did you bow to avodah zara? No, why did you do such a foolish thing about avodah zara? Amarle. So Menashe said to Rav Ashi, "Ihabas hasam. If you would have been there, havas nakitna b'shipule glima, you would have picked up the hem of your tunic. Virahatas abasrayin. You would have run after me to go offer sacrifices to Avodah Zarah. You would not have been able to control yourself if you would have lived in my day. Don't think that this was a simple Yetzer Hara. This was an incredibly powerful and terrible Yetzer Hara, and you would not have been able to survive." So the Gemara says, "Lamachar." The next day, Amar Lahu L'Rabbanan. He told his students, the rabbis. He said, "Niftach B'Rab Vasa." We will begin speaking about the rabbis. Rather than speak about them as if they are our friends, he said, "We're going to speak about the rabbis." He didn't mean rabbis as in role models. They were not role models. Yeravam ben Nevat, Achav, and Menashe are not role models. But he meant to say, you got to respect the fact that they were great people who fell. And they fell because they were dealing with the Yetzer Hara, which was really terrible. It doesn't absolve them. It doesn't absolve them. It doesn't mean that they were tzaddikim. That's what it means over here. But the point is, you got to respect what they went through. It's not like they did some childish thing. Today we recognize it as childish and foolish. But in their day, they were blinded by the Yetzer Hara. It's an important thing, because when you think about the Yetzer Haras that we have, it's important to remember that the only thing that makes it enticing is the fact that it's the Yetzer Hara. If the Yetzer Hara would be taken away, wouldn't these things that drive us wouldn't drive us? And that's the nature of Yetzer Hara.
So are we to take from this that even if you don't have a halak in Olam Haba, you can still come to people in dreams?
That's a very good question. So the question is this story following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he had a portion of the world to come, or is it possible? I don't know the answer. I wonder that myself. I don't know whether this...
That seems like you have quite a lot of power to be able to say something.
Yes, yes. Well, clearly Hashem sent him because Rav Ashi needed to learn the lesson. We needed to learn the lesson. Rav Ashi is our source for this lesson. Right? So he needed to learn it. But it's a very, very good question. I don't know the answer. We do find that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin that when Uncleus, the Ger, before he became a Ger, he was the nephew of Titus, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. When Uncleus was considering becoming Jewish, so it says that he brought up some dead people to ask them their opinion. So it says he brought up his uncle Titus and talked to him about it. Titus told him, don't do it. He brought up Bilam, who told him, don't do it. And then there's a very mysterious part of the Gemara because it starts to talk about something and then all of a sudden we don't have it anymore. Like there's clearly something that says to be discussed. There's something missing and then it moves on. And that's because there it appears that he brought up Yashka. Mm-hmm. In a dream as well. So he brought up these people to these people who were, and the Gemara says how each of them was being punished. As Uncleus says to his uncle Titus, so what do you think is a good idea? And Titus says, it's a bad idea. Don't do it. So then and Titus says, if you want to have greatness in this world, what you should do is start up with the Jewish people. Then you'll have greatness. So Uncleus said, oh, that's nice advice. By the way, what's with you these days? So Titus says, oh, every day they take me and they burn me up and they take my ashes and scatter me all over the ocean. And then the next day they reconstitute me and burn me up again. So Titus says, okay, thank you very much. I mean, Uncleus says, good advice. Next.
That's what working for
you. Right. Right. And same thing with Bilam. Bilam says to first fight with the Jews. Oh, by the way, what's doing with you? Bilam's getting boiled every day. Okay, fine. Thanks a lot. Right. So it seems that these people who are evil are able to be conjured up somehow. So I don't know the rules for that. Right. I don't know how that works.
Don't try this at home.
Right. So there you have Menashe, and because of the fact that he does do some level of tshuva, therefore we end up with an unclear resolution. He definitely does not end up a tzaddik, meaning he doesn't end up, when I say a tzaddik, he doesn't end up as a role model, that's for sure. Question is, does he end up in Olam Haba or not? That's a debate.
That's buried in the garden.
But he doesn't, not necessarily with the...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. His son, Amun, for sure is evil. Only last 2 years, he's destroyed. But the legacy, though, which is important to know when we start with Yoshiyahu, is the country is in shambles. The country is confused. The country went through 22 years of intense evil, 33 years of some level of tshuva, but not like in the days of Chizkiyahu, not totally turning it around. And then Amon comes on the scene, and for 2 years there's incredible evil all over again. So the country is not doing well. And Yoshiyahu, who's the next king, will enter the scene with that situation. So we're going to have to see what happens with Yoshiyahu. In addition, we will see later that as we move through Malachim and we get to Hashem's point that he is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the sins of Yeravam are always mentioned. Of course, Yeravam is mentioned always. But the sins of Menashe now become mentioned over and over again. They're not going to be forgotten. It's going to be because of the sins of Menashe, there's going to be a destruction. That all the good that will be done by Yoshiyahu is not going to be able to undo the evil of Menashe. So there still is going to be that evil that he did, even if he didn't tshuva enough to get into Olam Haba, but that evil still lingers, and it's going to be referenced later on as we move through the rest of Malachim. Yeah.
Did you say Yeshayahu was his grandfather, his father?
Not his father. Yeshayahu. Now wait, let's not get into it. There is Yeshayahu the Navi.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Yoshio, I know, I just want to show. Yoshio, the king. Yeshayahu, his daughter, married Chizkiyahu. Hefziva is Yeshayahu's daughter, who married Chizkiyahu, and they had Menashe.
Yeah, so that's
Yeah. When we talked about that story last, I think last, we talked about how Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu had a debate about whether they knew something evil was coming down the line, and they were trying to avert it by making a shidduch.
Oh.
That's what they're trying to do, but unfortunately, it did not help.
Didn't Achav also do tshuva? I always forget about
that. Achav did a level of tshuva. That was really only on the surface. He did a level of tshuva. Yeah, so the evil was brought in his son's day instead of his day.
Isn't there a medrash that says that Menashe is pulled up as, if even Menashe can do tshuva, then that shows how powerful it is and that anybody should do it because it always works?
Yes. No, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says that if he does tshuva, everybody should do tshuva. Yes.
Right, but if he didn't get into Olam Haba, then it didn't.
That's the thing. It definitely helped. Tshuva always helps. Right. The question is, how much did he do and how far did it go? The evil was so bad. So the question is, what was accomplished with the tshuva? Right. But it is a debate. It is a debate.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say he was buried with his father. No. Buried in the yard.
Yeah.
I mean, the people swayed. So the monarch, I know he had a lot of power, but it seems like people are swayed totally bad. You know, they go bad.
The people are swayed, but they're also held accountable. It's not like they're absolved. It's that the people. It's true. The king has tremendous power, but the people went along with it.
It also shows the more power you have, the more potential to do evil.
Yeah. And the other way around. You see what Chizkiyahu was able to do.
Right.
The entire country knew Torah. Everybody. Right. That only a king can make that happen. That's not possible to happen without a king to make it happen. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll continue with Yoshiyahu.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.